Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble, especially kibble that has glyphosate in it. Dr. Jacek and I have been talking about glyphosate this morning because I'm on fire, Dr. Jacek.
I can tell. I can see the smoke. In addition to the smoke from Grand Junction, I can see the smoke clouds above Evergreen.
I'm ticked off. If there's not enough to be ticked off about in the world, all finding out that all of these governing bodies, the WHO, the CDC, the NIH, they're all in bed together. They're all these governing bodies that are supposed to be protecting us. If you haven't looked at the ICANN network, I mean, they're coming out with all these lawsuits against these agencies because there's a lot of money that's associated with decisions. Okay, so we can get into that another time. But here's what I'm so mad about, Dr. Jacek. All right, I live up here in the mountains. Beautiful. Supposed to be moving up here because it's cleaner. We've got fresher air. We've got, you know, nice soil. My dogs can eat grass and run free and not have to worry. So what do I see the other day? But our county truck going down the road spraying the weeds on the side of the road. So I put out on Nextdoor, I say, what is being sprayed on the weeds along the road? Who knows what the spray is specifically and what are the ingredients? And you would think, Dr. Jacek, that people would be outraged. Right? You would think that. But they're not. I get comments like this. Well, I assume that it's just the county. And this is from Peggy. She's saying they have an obligation to control the weeds due to potential fire dangers. And she's saying, you know, I use natural sprays on my pastures. And so she's scolding somebody else because one lady named Heather, she's jumping in there with me saying, I want to know too. I have kids. I have concerns about what they're spraying. So this Peggy says, Heather, please do your research as to exactly what is being sprayed before you suggest stopping the spraying of obnoxious invading plants. And I want to say, Dr. Jacek, that this was the theme in my neighborhood. And this goes out to three different neighborhoods. The theme that I got back, the attitude and the comments that I got back was, we care more about obnoxious weeds than we care if it's cancer-causing glyphosate being sprayed into the soil.
Right, right. And you know, those chemicals, they don't just land on the weeds. They get into the soil. They actually get into the water, to the aquifers. I mean, because I have followed this. I follow Jeffrey Smith, who he's written some books that will just frighten you about the whole. He writes a lot about the whole GMO issue, which is a different topic. But he also follows the whole glyphosate, and he reports on the lawsuits. I mean, farmers are actually getting winning lawsuits now against Monsanto because it's been, you know, glyphosate's been proven to cause lymphoma in people. They're actually proving it in court now. So if people don't believe that it's toxic, and even if it was, you know, the chemicals, okay, so it wasn't glyphosate or Roundup, it was something else that they say is quote unquote safe. I mean, come on. I mean, I think you said, Dee Dee, you looked up the looked up the chemicals. I've had clients come in and tell me, well, I spray my yard, but you know, the company says it's safe. I'm like, give me the list. Let me look up what's exactly in those sprays. And I do. And there's warnings all over the place about how toxic it is. Things that kill things are not safe. If you're using a spray that's killing plants or killing bugs, it's not safe. And what the other thing gets me is what harm really are those few weeds doing? They're just covering the soil. It's what nature does. Nature doesn't like bare soil. Bare soil, nature puts weeds there. What harm are those weeds doing? And why is it worth putting these, you know, toxic chemicals into our environment? And why don't people think that that's a problem? It's like we were talking about. Why do people think that this is okay?
Well, the response that I got back was it's fire mitigation. I said, it's fire mitigation. Let me ask you a question. They're spraying along the road. Most of us up here have 2.5 to 5 acres. So that's fire mitigation. And what I like, what I've always seen and what I love to get into conversations and when people do this diversion tactic, so stick to the subject, right? So I'm saying they're spraying along the road. That's supposed to be fire mitigation when we have 5 acres. So now what do they do? Well, you need to be doing fire mitigation on your 5 acres. That's not what I'm talking about. And I get that. But what we're talking about is spraying.
Right.
And so I posted, I got this response back from the county. Now, what I'm not happy about with Dr. Jasek is that they do not post it on their website. As a matter of fact, you have to go to a PDF. And what the PDF says about the stuff that they are using to spray, in quotations, it says less offensive.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, that's what I said. What
less offensive than what?
So,
arsenic?
Right. So I posted it out there with all three of the links to all three of the products that they have. Every single one of them saying hazardous to humans and domestic animals, caution. And if you read it, it says you got to wear PPE. We all know what that is today, right? Personal protection equipment. And it says you have to wear chemical resistant gloves made of any waterproof materials such as polyethylene. You have to wear shoes and socks, long sleeved shirts and long pants. Come on, people.
Yeah, right. But it's perfectly safe. There's no problem with it, but you know, you better wear all this protective equipment, you know, what just in case. Like, why are they recommending that if it's all perfectly safe? It doesn't make any sense. Like, just look at the information and the vague stuff that, you know, that comes out. You know, I hear this, you know, follow this data about the whole COVID thing, and some of the information that comes out is so vague, it doesn't even make any sense. Like, you know, like what you just said, you know, about the chemicals, about it being, you know, what did you say? Reasonably safe or something like that.
Less offensive.
Like, less offensive than what? Like, well, that's not comforting to me, because that's not telling me anything. That's good enough.
What I found so crazy, Dr. Jasek, one person in my neighborhood is concerned about it, along with myself. And I have this other neighbor who takes this approach, and they say, very condescending, they say, thank you very much for finding this out and posting it. Transparency and communication helps all of us be informed and make good choices. Sounds like if you don't want the spray, you should be out patrolling your property edges with a weed guide and pulling or mitigating your noxious weeds, which I found that was, you know. And then I said, you know, very well said. I'm just not sure how to keep the poisons from rolling downhill from others' yards into mine. And I said, do you have suggestions? Her suggestion was this. She said, well, I guess I would offer to weed my neighbor's roadside property as well as mine. More work, but maybe less anxiety. Talk about it over a beer with your neighbors. That way, if nothing else happens, at least you had a good beer. To which I said, no, man, I think I'll take a more aggressive approach. I've been fighting for pet health for years, and I'm not okay with Roundup products being put into our soil, period.
It should be. I mean, the point is people should be waking up to the fact that these chemicals are dangerous, not just, well, you know, not make it all about the weeds. I mean, who cares about the weeds? You're going to die of cancer. What do you care if you got weeds in your yard? I mean, this whole, like, we got to have these perfectly groomed areas or roadways with, you know, no weeds anywhere is ridiculous. You know, we were, Chris, my husband and I, we were hiking one time way up in the Mount Evans wilderness. I mean, we were miles in from the trailhead. And see these people coming down the trail with their backpacks, with the sprayers, you know, backpack sprayers. And I was like, I was flabbergasted. I'm like, what are you spraying? Oh, well, we were spraying the thistle because it's a noxious weed. And I'm like, you're up here in the Mount Evans wilderness and you're putting those toxic chemicals. Oh, they're safe. They're safe. So there's no damage to the, or no harm to the wildlife or the insects or the pollinators. Oh, no. It's perfectly safe. I'm like, I think you guys are full of shit. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, and it's bad enough that, you know, people have to have their perfectly groomed lawns and you can't, you know, be able to see a single weed as far as you can look in your neighborhood. But up there in the wilderness, are you kidding me? Like it was just disgusted me.
Well, there is a site, you're probably very familiar with this site, but it's called US Right to Know. So the site is usrtk.org. On this, it has a glyphosate fact sheet, cancer and other health concerns. But let me just give you some statistics. Americans have applied 1.8 million tons of glyphosate since its introduction in 1974. That means worldwide, 9.4 million tons of this chemical has been sprayed on fields, and that is enough to spray nearly half a pound of Roundup on every cultivated acre of land in the world.
Wow, that's crazy.
You're doing everything you can for pet health. I'm doing everything I can for pet health. The raw dog food industry is doing everything they can. And yet, we are just polluting this planet. And this idea, Dr. Jay-Z, that cancer just is in the, you know, it just happens. It just, they're born that way.
It's just all, it's all bad genes. You just got, you know, dealt a bad hand of genes that, you know, that's where cancer comes from. That's the conventional belief. It's not my belief, but that's what a lot of people are kind of led to believe.
It's just not the case, folks. And I think that you have to stop being okay with it. And, you know, I've had many, many family members die of cancer. My father died at the age of 47. My granddad died at the age of 60. My three uncles all died under the age of 60 of cancer. That's going to be, you know, bladder cancer, brain cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer. I mean, come on. How many dogs do you see come through your office with some form of cancer, Dr. Jasek?
Yeah, lots. And I ask, you know, I always like to investigate the cause because this is what I know. If we can identify what's causing it, then we can do more to prevent it. And I would say the majority of cancer patients, they've, you know, been on a kibble diet, either currently are or have been for a good part of their life. And they've, you know, had vaccines and medication. So kind of pretty obvious why this pet is more susceptible to cancer. But then I do have some that have been feeding raw. I'd have to say, you know, lead a, you know, pretty healthy lifestyle, you know, with their dogs. They've done a lot of good things. They don't over-vaccinate. But then I ask, where do you walk your dog? Do you walk where they spray? Are they spraying the weeds? Do you live in a complex, you know, a condos or patio homes or something where they're spraying, just like you saw in your neighborhood? And quite often the answer is yes, that you know, they're walking. Like, well, they don't have a choice. And it is harder, you know, especially for people that live in the city. Like, where do you walk your dog where they're not spraying you know, the weeds, it is more challenging to find a place. But I know that's a contributing factor, especially when we get things growing on the feet, bone cancer, seeing more and more osteosarcoma. I theorize that just goes right up their feet into their legs from the ground, the glyphosate. And I think that's a big contributing factor. But I will say this too, though, that the pets that are already on the raw diet and not over vaccinating, they do much better. And it's much easier to stabilize them and to support them going forward, even though they might still have developed a cancerous lump or, you know, whatever shows up in their body, that they are, it's much easier to manage and they do much better going forward. So it is still worthwhile doing all those things, because we cannot completely get away from these toxins, but it is definitely worth avoiding them as much as possible, especially with, you know, little guys. One of my little dogs is 5 pounds. I will not walk my dogs in my neighborhood in the summertime when everybody's out there spraying. I go, there's like a little lake, a little park not too far from me, and there's a section of it that's just all weeds. It's all these horrible, noxious weeds, you know? I'm like, perfect. That's where I'm going to walk my dogs, because nobody's spraying there, because that's all weeds. And there's little trails and stuff. I put them in the car and we go over there. I won't walk them. How much glyphosate would it take for a 5-pound dog to get sick? Not very much. And they got their noses right down there. They're breathing the stuff in. It's going right through their pads. They're not wearing shoes. You know, it gets, and then they come back and lick their feet. It's a constant exposure. And I know it's a big contributing factor to the development of cancer.
Well, what drives me crazy is that there are alternatives. There are alternatives. You could do a mandate and say, you know, you're going to get fined. If you let noxious weeds grow, you need to go out there and pull them, okay? You could fine people. You could use a vinegar, an all-natural vinegar mix, okay? There's a lot of different things that you can do. As a matter of fact, there was a lady who came on next door and scolded all of us and said, well, I use an all-natural herbicide in my pastures. I asked her 3 times to give us the name of the all-natural one so that we would all benefit. Silence. Total and complete silence. But I just think right now, Dr. Jasek, everybody's like, every life matters. Every life matters. And I want to say every life matters unless it has to do with cancer. And then you're like, oh, well, you know, I posted the statistics, 650,000 people. 650,000 people will die of cancer in 2020. Okay, so that's not enough people that we can get all up in arms about? And that's just this year, Dr. Jasek.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's interesting. It's like, you know, thinking about this, you know, people, the things that are on mainstream, like the, you know, Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter and all of this. Yeah, but they don't think about the simple things they could be doing to prevent a disease like this, like cancer. Yeah, it's very interesting what people will decide to protest and to attack. And it's not that, you know, I'm supporting police brutality or racism or anything like that. I'm certainly not. But yeah, let's look at what else is going on that the powers that be don't want you to know about.
Yeah. It's there's too much money. And what I was reading the other day, some of these lawsuits that are going on. I speak about this a lot. So Robert Kennedy Jr. And also the ICANN network, you know, they were pointing out just how much money Dr. Anthony Fauci and his agency has invested in this new vaccine that is coming out. So as with anything, the narrative is going to change depending on where the money is. And I listen to the smaller voices, as do you, right? So the people who don't have all the money in the world, they're not invested in stock with some Monsanto company or some vaccine company. Heck, Dr. Jasek, you don't even get kickbacks from me. You get nothing from me. I get nothing from you. I mean, we do this podcast. We're a small voice trying to make big changes in our pets' lives. And I just, for some reason, that is not getting through to pet parents. And you and I were talking about something before the podcast that absolutely blew me away. And I said to you, I wonder if now we're starting to see censorship in the veterinarian world. You recently had a pet parent that went over to get a blood test from her traditional vet. And you were saying that this particular vet would not do a blood test simply because she was feeding a raw diet?
Right. Exactly. It was a follow-up. She'd been in there, been a client there, and we're monitoring liver values on this pet. And it was just follow-up, routine blood work. And this vet was so against raw feeding that he would not do the blood work. Said, well, there's just no way your, you know, pet's going to be improving if it's on a raw diet. So what's the point? I was like shocked. I could have, you know, picked my jaw up off the floor when she told me that. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and that isn't even about, you know, like if the vet, you know, was interested in making money, you know, they could have made money doing that blood panel. Like if they're just in it for purely monetary, but they're so animate that raw is wrong. And the thing is, they don't know the first thing about it. They don't know a thing about the nutritional content of raw feeding. They've just decided it's wrong. And what really gets me about that is, you know, the profession always preaches evidence-based medicine. Got to have the research study. So there's no research studies out there, you know, saying that, you know, raw is good because nobody's funding those kind of studies. Well, there's no evidence saying it's bad either. So you won't support it because there's no research study saying that it's good, but you will condemn it when there's no information. They know nothing. I can guarantee if you ask that veterinarian, what is the nutrient content of the raw blends that she was feeding, they wouldn't have a clue. They wouldn't have any idea whatsoever, but yet they can condemn it with no supporting information whatsoever. It's so hypocritical, and it's so disappointing to me. Like, I'm in the same profession as these, but I want to like call myself something else. Like, I don't want to call myself a veterinarian anymore because I get so disgusted with the other things in the profession. I don't want to be grouped with these close-minded professionals, and these are smart people. You know, these are smart, intelligent, scientifically minded people, and they should not be putting that kind of information, telling clients those types of things without the information to support it. And I see it all the time.
Yeah, but isn't that the best tactic in the world, Dr. Jasek? Just don't try to get to the truth, and therefore you don't have to admit the truth, right? So this particular vet obviously does not want anything to support a belief that he doesn't hold, right? So if I believe that the raw diet is bad and I do this blood work and it comes out great, which you and I have seen that so many times, then I might have to change my stance. And by golly, I'm not changing my stance because I know what I know and I don't want to know anything different.
Yeah. And you know what? It's laziness, in my opinion, because then they'd have to learn something new. Like, well, if that turns out to be the case, then I might actually have to learn something about this. And you have to go against the grain. And we've talked about that too. That's not easy. That's a tough road when you're going against mainstream. And, you know, for me, you know, practicing in a way that is not the, you know, conventional way. And it's not easy, but that's the way I believe is right. And I believe it's right because I see the pets get healthier. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, like we've talked about, I could be making a whole lot more money selling vaccines and pharmaceuticals and, you know, teaching, selling bags of prescription diets, but I know that's not good for the pets. So we go a different way and we educate people, and that's what you do too. So it's tough. And I think too, a lot of professionals, they have to be wrong about what they were doing before. And I don't ever criticize people once they learn something new and say, wow, I could have been doing this different. Well, you can only do what you know, right? But once you know, you should be doing something differently. And they just won't step up to the plate. I just don't get how people can be so, you know, so close-minded. You know, it's like people, I've had this experience with my family, because my husband, Chris, and I are very, you know, we eat very healthy. You know, we eat organic. We really believe that our health is one of our most valuable assets. And so we take care of it. We invest in that. We invest money and time into staying healthy. And my family is like completely the opposite. And there's been a few times we've tried to bring up some things and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, because if they know and they believe it, then they can't go run into McDonald's, because then they'll know it's bad. And I've actually had people in my family say this. I don't want to hear it. I want to be able to go eat at McDonald's and enjoy it and not wonder why it's, you know, what it's doing to my body. So I don't even want the information. It's like, okay, I guess I won't waste my breath then. But that's the way a lot of people think. And it's easy, it's easier because it's mainstream. That's what the majority of the population is thinking. So they have a lot of support in thinking that way.
You know, it's, and I see this from the way that you and I recommend things, certainly the way that you practice. And what I see is that people, when they come to see you, Dr. Jasek, they really do want a shot, a pill, just do this and just do that. They do not want let's pull back from certain things, let's give it some time diagnosis. They don't want that. They want the immediate. We've done shows on these mast cell tumors that you've said, listen, don't cut those mast cell tumors out, right, of your dog, even if you've got a cancer diagnosis or a biopsy from that. And yet, we see that people will go do that anyway. And then there's this proliferation of those mast cell tumors because people don't want to take a conservative approach. We are so indoctrinated, so convinced that we've got to throw this drug at it and that drug at it. We've got to have surgery and we've got to pay big bucks and we've got to go into debt to make it valid. It's insanity to me. Insanity.
You're right. People are coming and they want even they might want an herb instead of a pharmaceutical, but a lot of times people are still looking for the magic bullet. Well, I don't want to do pharmaceuticals. Give me the herb that's going to make my pet better. And it just doesn't work that way. You know, you've got to back off, get a good baseline on what's really going on with your pet. And then we can start to add things back in and start to sort it out. And it takes time. It takes time and patience. And, you know, I quite honestly, I've gotten so busy lately that if people can't buy into that way of practicing, then I'm probably just not a good fit. And I have no problem telling people that, but that's the way I practice, you know, and people have to be on board with it.
I had an email the other day, somebody inquiring about the raw diet, and their email basically said this: my vet has told me that I need to stay totally away from raw companies. And they basically were, you know, wanting me, as you and I have talked about before, to defend the raw diet according to what her vet said. And my response was, you need to do more research. Go back and ask your vet. You know, I said, well, first of all, her dog wasn't doing well. And the response was this: if your pet is not doing well on what you're doing now, don't you think you might want to try something else? And ask your vet why your dog isn't doing well on the recommendations that they've given you, prescription medication, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But it's so funny. I mean, I've sort of you know, the same way. We have so much information out there on our website, on our podcast, that if you're really not on board with feeding a healthy food, then we're okay with you staying where you are. Right? Because we're really trying to reach those people who really do want the healthiest lifestyle for their pet. And we're going to help you get there. I think that many times people get sent down a rabbit hole, Dr. Jasek. So I had this sweet lady call me yesterday and she was talking about fat. And I said, well, let's talk about that. What is going on with your pet? Well, my pet's got pancreatitis. Tell me a little bit more about that. And what I found out was this. This dog was a kibble-fed dog. She's just switched over to raw. However, they travel a lot. So when they travel, they feed kibble. And when they feed kibble, this quote-unquote pancreatitis comes back.
Go figure.
I said, okay, so I think you're concentrating on the wrong thing here. Let's just stay with, you know, the 10% fat, that's fine. But you really are going to have to remove the kibble out of the diet, period. Because that's where we see high incidence of pancreatitis. And I explained the whole oil is going rancid and that sort of thing. But isn't that amazing that the vet never clued in on the kibble, only said, well, you just need to, you know, take out the fat in the raw food. Now, the other thing that she was doing, and people, you cannot do this. Do not give bacon grease to dogs. That is not the kind of fat we're talking about. That is really bad. Another issue, and I think that you saw this client too, Dr. Jasek, is people get fixated on like a low mineral or low potassium. This one particular customer, their dog has low potassium. And the vet said, well, just add some salt. Well, heck, just eat some fish.
Right. Right. You can't micromanage nutrients. I mean, you can, but I don't recommend it. There's a few. Vitamin D, I pick up low vitamin D, I will supplement because it is such an important nutrient. And I'm still trying to figure out why on earth, even raw fed dogs, I see a lot that come up low in the vitamin D, and I'm not sure why. I think part of it might be an absorption issue, but in any case, that's one I do supplement. But for the most part, I do not. You don't do individual supplementation. You have to feed, you have to balance these nutrients because every nutrient is meant to be taken in with other nutrients. They work synergistically. And if you're just doing one, you're going to throw the whole, nutrition out of balance, or you can potentially do that and you can affect the absorption of other nutrients. These nutrients are meant to work together. And if you're doing a synthetic, you have no idea how that's helping your pet. So you have to be really, really careful about micromanaging nutrients. And like you said, look at which whole foods have more of that nutrient and feed more of that, because then you're going to be getting it balanced with the other nutrients that potassium needs to be effective in the body.
When I feed my dogs an entire fish meal, so yesterday, both of my dogs got fish meals, and meaning, you know, Lazzie had sardines, and I bet she had 8 sardines, and they were gone in 30 seconds. Both of my dogs will drink excessive water compared to what they usually drink if they're eating fish, because there is natural salt. They come out of the ocean.
Nice.
But let me ask you a question about potassium, because really the pet parent's issue was that this dog's itchy. And I said, I don't think that on a blood panel where your vet is showing, okay, well, we've got a low level of potassium, that really probably doesn't have anything to do with your dog's itchy skin at this point. But can you talk to us a little bit about potassium and you know, what are you going to see in your dog if they have low potassium, and is that a huge issue?
Well, I think the thing about like potassium and other electrolytes like your sodium, chloride, those types of things. First of all, they're transient. These go kind of in and out of the cells, and you're going to see some fluctuating lab values. So if you just saw that once, I mean, I would probably look at the diet and make sure it was a balanced diet. If it was like a a kibble diet that had lots of synthetics, then I would definitely add in some fresh food. But in my experience, potassium deficiency is really not that common. I would expect to see more like issues with muscle contraction and that type of thing. Like, you know, you heard the old thing that if you get muscle cramps at night, eat a banana because bananas are high in potassium. So these electrolytes are really important for normal nerve function, muscle contraction, and things like that. But my first suspicion would be that was a transient value, or the dog's getting some synthetic source of potassium and is just not absorbing it appropriately. But I would not link it to the itchy skin either. I think it would be more of a neuromuscular symptom if it was truly a low potassium.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel that that many of these tests that are out there on the market to look at vitamins, minerals, things in the dog's body really lead people to do things that are more harmful than good, meaning that they're going to go out and over-supplement in some areas?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a big danger. We do a test, you know, just like with this potassium, you get one thing low and then you supplement with potassium, but let's look at the whole picture. Is this a kibble-fed dog? Well, we need to not be focusing on that ingredient. We need to be getting the dog on a fresh food diet, get them off of the dead, toxic kibble, and get them on a fresh food diet. And are we vaccinating? So we have a high aluminum and mercury load in the body. So we've got toxic heavy metals, which can affect the absorption of nutrients and the ability of the body to use nutrients appropriately. So I think what happens is, it's this magic bullet approach. I think sometimes people do tests. Same with allergy tests. I do not find allergy tests to be terribly useful because people start, you know, switching up proteins and eliminating the things that the allergy test said that the dog is sensitive to, and then they get frustrated because it's not working. Well, it's not working because probably we have a gut issue. We've got something else that's inflaming the body. Are they over vaccinating? If they're vaccinating every year and you got itchy skin, you got to stop vaccinating. You're not going to get good results on a fresh food diet if you continue to inflame the immune system. So yeah, I think those tests, like if we did all the other stuff, like, you know, we got fresh food diet, we're minimizing vaccines, dog's not on any pharmaceuticals, and they're still like itching like crazy, then, well, maybe let's do some testing. Let's see, are we missing something? Is the dog not absorbing something? Or maybe we could supplement with, you know, zinc is one that can, you know, sometimes help with skin issues, or the vitamin D, and let's see if the dog is deficient. But if you start with the test and you don't do all the other stuff, yeah, I think you could do more harm than good because you're not getting to the root of the problem.
Yeah, I think we got to get the diet right first. And the diet right means variety, variety, variety. Okay. It means clean. It means no processed foods. Do not mix kibble in there. Do not mix bad treats in there, processed treats. Let's get the diet where it actually does have the protein, the organs, the fat, the bone. Let's get all that in there. Let's give it some time. Okay. This may be 6 weeks, Dr. Jasek, maybe 6 weeks. Let's get their blood work done as far as testing their vitamin D levels. Let's get a baseline and then we can go from there. But I think that I see so many of my pet parents that have been just sent down a rabbit hole. They've spent so much money trying to get their dogs in a healthy position. And a lot of them are at a loss, and so they give up. And I feel for these pet parents because I think, you've got to get the gut right first. And I want to just say the last thing about the microbiome disruption. You guys, Roundup, glyphosate will disrupt the gut. Okay. So if you don't think that glyphosates are a big deal, then just keep shelling out that money.
Yeah. Keep they were actually originally patented as an antibiotic. So we know antibiotics disrupt the gut, and this is very, very powerful. I mean, you know, if you just think about it logically, what do you have in your gut that we're trying to, what's the microbiome? That's a whole bunch of bacteria. Okay, this is a chemical that kills plants. Do you think that isn't going to kill, you know, kill off a lot of those bacteria in your gut, and it's going to throw it out of balance so that the bacteria that are there in low populations that can cause disease are actually able to grow and cause problems. So it absolutely disrupts the microbiome.
Yeah. So we would like to say, hey, get out there and let's do something about those glyphosates, everybody. Take a stand. Get to know what is being sprayed in your neighborhood, and we'll back you up. We'll back you up. I may be the lone voice out there, maybe only one or two of us, but you can still have power. If nobody else has brought it to the forefront, I believe that I can go down to the county and ask the questions. Why are we not using something that is less poisonous? It also goes right into our stream. There's a stream right down here. That stream goes into Evergreen Lake. Evergreen Lake is used for drinking water, and lots of people are out there paddleboarding in it. So I don't think that's very safe.
And if you want, you know, for anybody that really wants to dive into this, the Institute for Responsible Technology, that's Jeffrey Smith's website, has a ton of information. So if you think we're just yakking here and don't know what we're talking about, there is information out there. So it's IRT, Institute for Responsible Technology, Jeffrey Smith, and he has a ton of information out there. And he's a very data-driven guy. I mean, his stuff that he puts out there all is firmly backed with sound information. So that's a great place to go for more information. If you would just rather not believe this stuff, he's quite convincing.
Well, if you'd rather not believe this stuff, you probably don't want to listen to this podcast. because we're just going to keep putting that information out there. We're going to keep fighting for the health of your pets. Speaking of a great place to go, that is Dr. Judy Jasek at ahavet.com. You are getting very busy. You're getting very much in demand. People are looking for alternatives through the traditional way of treating disease, and you can find that with Dr. Judy Jasek. Start your pet on a raw dog food diet today. Get that baseline going. Find us at rawdogfoodandco.com, where we always say your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. I'll talk to you next week, Dr. Jasek.
All right, sounds good.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.